Hey, y'all. Welcome to Biscuits and Jam from Southern Living. I'm your host, Sid Evans, and today I'm talking with someone whose voice some of you might recognize from his work in the long-running country duo Florida Georgia Line. Tyler Hubbard was born and raised in Monroe, Georgia, where he grew up working in the garden with his family, competing in motocross races, and playing music at his church. He met his bandmate, Brian Kelly, at Belmont University in Nashville. And by 2012, Florida Georgia Line was one of the hottest acts in country music. These days, he's entered a new phase in his life and career. He's a father now, with a wife and three kids, and after taking a break from recording with Kelly, he's also reintroducing himself to fans as a solo act. His new album, Strong, has just come out, and he has a big tour ahead of him with Kane Brown. We'll talk about all that, how he's now gardening with his kids, and the father he misses every day on this week's Biscuits and Jam. Tyler Hubbard, welcome to Biscuits and Jam.
Hey, thanks, Sid. Appreciate you having me. How are you?
I'm great. Where am I reaching you right now?
I'm in Nashville.
Okay. Well, I know you're headed out on a tour before too long, and I just want to say congrats on the new album. It's called Strong, and it's your second album since you've gone solo.
Yeah.
And it's great. Sounds great. I just listened to it.
Thanks, Sid. I appreciate it, man. Yeah, I'm excited to get that album out and share it with the world, and it feels really good. It's something I'm really proud of, and even more excited to play them live and, like you said, get out on tour with Kane Brown this spring and play fairs and festivals all summer and then headline some stuff in the fall. So there's a lot of fun stuff bands excited about, and we're all in a good space, man, just having a lot of fun. And like I said, it just feels good to have this new music out.
Yeah. Well, so tell me about the title. It's called Strong, and that's a word that can mean a lot of different things.
Yeah. I mean, it's obviously a song that's on the album, but we kept referring to everything is being strong, whether it was a song or a mix or a take. And so we just decided it feels like it's really leading us to calling this whole project Strong, which I personally was excited about because for me, strong represents so many different things for different people, you know?
Yeah.
I think strength can come in so many different forms, strength and vulnerability, strength and being real, strength and doing hard things. When I think of strong people, I think of teachers and nurses and police officers and people in the service, but also parents. I just think it touches on a lot of different things. And I think it's just fun to think about our inner strength and where that comes from. And if you listen to the song, it's more based around my relationship with my wife.
Yeah.
But ultimately strong relationships in general and the beauty in that and the beauty in working to make a relationship strong. It doesn't happen overnight. And it's fun to watch the strength build within relationships as you put in the work, you know?
Yeah. Well, I want to get more into the album in a minute, but before we do that, I'd love to talk just a little bit about your background and where some of your strength as a person comes from, I guess. You grew up in Monroe, Georgia, or right around there, which is kind of east of Atlanta. Is that right?
Yep, that's right. Northeast a little bit, close to Athens. But yeah, small town called Monroe, and grew up there. Majority of my life, grew up in the country, grew up very kind of small town, simple life, which I'm really grateful for and love where I grew up. Had great parents and grew up in church and grew up in a great home. And so when I was 18, I moved out and moved to college and went to Nashville and went to Belmont. And I'd fallen in love with Nashville on a trip and just thought, man, this place is magical. I love this place. And I got accepted to go to Belmont and thought, well, that's where I'm headed then. I love Nashville, and maybe music is something that'll hold my interest long enough to get through college. And until this day, I call Nashville home. I love it here and love the people and the community and the culture. And now I got three kids that we're raising, me and my wife, right outside of Nashville, and just really grateful to be here.
Well, Tyler, if you were to sort of paint a picture of Monroe, and particularly when you were growing up there, I imagine it looks a lot different now, probably a lot more people there now. But, you know, when you were a kid and maybe even in high school, what was the lay of the land in Monroe and the area? Does it feel kind of rural, or did it really have more kind of a town center?
It was fairly rural. I actually lived in a little outskirt of Monroe, if there is a such thing, called Good Hope, which was super rural. It had one yellow flashing light, one general store, and a little post office. And that was the extent of that. But Monroe, which was 10 minutes from our house, I would say downtown Monroe, it's very kind of like, I don't know the word, maybe historic. It had a main street. It had a lot of character, a lot of local shops, Ace Hardware. The high school was kind of like an old rundown building. And it was an older feeling town, small. A lot of the basic fast food restaurants, a couple of good local spots, southern cooking kind of places and good breakfast spots. Your Waffle House and your Walmart, regular Walmart, not a super center. And we did get a super center before I moved, and that was kind of a big deal. But yeah, very kind of small town like that, small town culture. And it was a great way to grow up. Everybody kind of knew everybody. Everybody hung out at the baseball field. It was a good way to grow up.
What did your mom and dad do for a living?
Well, my mom, most of my childhood was a stay-at-home mom, which was great. And my dad was an entrepreneur, kind of ran his own businesses and did different things. What he did the most of probably was the tree service. So he had a tree service company, but he also dabbled in the mini warehouse business, dabbled in the landscape business. When I was real young, he had a mobile lube company where he'd go and change people's oils in their car, at their house or whatever. And so, yeah, he was an entrepreneur, and that's kind of where I got a lot of that entrepreneurial spirit from him and learned how to run a company and how to work hard and take care of business from him. So that was, again, something that looking back now, I'm really grateful for and thankful for the way I grew up and thankful that they were hardworking parents and really good examples.
Yeah. And I've read that you spent a lot of time on dirt bikes.
Yeah. Yeah. I grew up racing motocross as a kid. Kind of quit that, and I just rode. It got really serious at an early age, and it kind of turned me off, I think. So I took a step back from racing, but we always rode. That was one of my dad's hobbies that he loved to do, and so we always rode together and had a good time.
Well, Tyler, what does it take to be really good on a dirt bike? I mean, what separates the kids that were kind of okay at it from the ones who were winning the races?
Yeah, I'd say it was just tons of practice and tons of seat time. But that was why I was turned off, because it was like every day. It was essentially like you're training. As I got older and in college, I was like, man, this is what I felt like at 5 years old. I remember it was kind of like you need to be training and practicing every day or I'm not going to invest in this, because it was a sacrifice. We were traveling every weekend. We had a motorhome and a few bikes and all that kind of thing. So yeah, it was a lot of work for sure. And definitely the discipline and the practice is what separated the pretty good from the really good, you know?
And was this you and your dad mostly going to these races on weekends, or was it kind of the whole family?
It was kind of the whole family, usually. Every now and then it was just me and dad, but usually we'd all load up in the motorhome and hit the road and go anywhere 2 to 4 hours away, you know, to race every weekend. It was fun.
Tyler, I always talk about food a little bit on this podcast. And when you think about all the cooks in your family, and it could be mom, dad, grandparents, anyone, who really stands out in your mind?
Probably my mom. She was kind of the homemaker, if you will, and she made great dinners. And we always sat down as a family and had dinner, which was a lot of great memories and something that I now get to do with my own family. And just good quality family time, you know, and we had a garden growing up, so a lot of the stuff was fresh, and we had chickens and kind of had the farm life, so we were able to provide a lot of those foods, and it was great growing up watching where food comes from and how it's grown and that type of thing. So yeah, food was, I wouldn't say it was huge in our home, but it was definitely a big part of our family time, if nothing else. Working the garden, sitting down at meals at night and doing the thing. So it was a lot of fun.
Were you kind of expected to work in the garden? I mean, was that kind of part of your chores?
Yeah, for sure. I did yard work from the time I could just about walk, but the garden was part of that. And yeah, cut the grass, weed eating. And then when it was garden season, I was in the garden, weeding the garden and doing stuff and learning. So spent some time barefoot in the garden for sure. I got a lot of memories of that as a kid.
What are some of the dishes your mom was known for? I mean, the things that kind of stand out or that you remember the most.
Oh, man. I liked tacos. We made tacos a lot, spaghetti, you know, the easy stuff. But the stuff is just hearty and good. We'd probably do one of those every week for sure. And we'd have burgers and stuff pretty regularly and steak occasionally and vegetables. We'd do fish.
And did you have grandparents around there, too?
I did not. No, my grandparents lived in Alabama. Actually, the rest of my whole family lived in Alabama, from Tuscaloosa to Centerville.
Oh, okay.
So we'd go drive to visit them every so often, but it was just our immediate family that was in Georgia.
Yeah. What about the holidays? Was that a big deal in your family? Would everybody kind of travel and come together?
Yeah, occasionally they'd come see us, but most of the time we were going to Alabama to see everybody, and it was good, man. Good memories, you know, good family time, just a lot of fond memories running around with my cousins and hanging out, having a good time, sharing, you know, exchanging gifts and having a good meal. We'd usually do that before Christmas, and then we'd come home and have our family Christmas Eve service at church and just have some family time on Christmas morning and hang out, open gifts, and spend time together. So it was always a fun time, a lot of fond memories, Thanksgiving and Christmas for sure, going to Alabama and hanging with the family.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned the church, and I know that was a big part of your life growing up. I'm just wondering what that meant to you when it came to music. Were there certain hymns that really struck a chord with you, or did you do a lot of performing yourself in the church?
Yeah, I'd say the church is where I fell in love with music, for sure. I think that was my direct pathway and connection to God, first and foremost, and so I think that was really powerful. And so I fell in love with music for that reason, and then I wanted to learn how to play guitar and be in the worship band and thought that was a cool idea. So I was able to do that and started learning to play and learning to sing and getting out of my comfort zone, you know, and getting up on stage, and eventually was asked to lead worship. And that's where I really kind of got my stage legs, if you will, and got comfortable in front of a crowd and sort of leading the crowd. For a couple of years, I went to a private Christian school and became their worship leader as well, and kind of led the worship team and did that there. So that was sort of my passion through, I would say, probably my sophomore year of high school up until I graduated. And that's why I felt led to continue to pursue music through college and stuff, which led me to Nashville. But yeah, I would say in church is where I fell in love with music overall and the general craft of writing songs. I just felt like music was such a fun creative path and really was limitless, you know, whether it was leading worship or writing songs or making beats or whatever. It was a great outlet for me in high school.
So what kind of church was this? I mean, was this a really big church with a lot of people and stage and a lot of sound equipment, or was it a smaller setup?
Well, it was multiple setups, you know. For like youth group, it was a small room, small PA, and very minimal. It was a medium-sized church. It wasn't a mega church, but it wasn't a small church. And I don't know how many people went there, maybe 600 or 800 people or something like that. So yeah, it's a pretty good little congregation. And we had PA and got to learn about sound in that way a bit, you know, and running my own sound and figuring out how it all kind of works.
What's the song that you played that you really locked into? Was there one that you were like, oh, I just love this. I love to perform this one.
Here I Am to Worship. It was a good one, you know, How Great Is Our God. I actually just got asked to lead worship again at an event that I was at, and I got out of my comfort zone and did it. But I told them, I said, only songs I remember are songs from like 2003, so you got to bear with me. And so I just played some of the classics, and it worked out. Everybody knew the songs, and it was familiar. So anyways, I'd say those two popped into mind pretty quickly.
Yeah. Well, Tyler, I want to ask you about your dad a little bit. You lost your dad, I guess it's been about 15 years ago or so, and you wrote a song about him that's called Miss My Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about all the things that you miss about spending time with him. And, you know, that song's been out there for a little bit now, and I'm just wondering what kind of reaction you've heard from fans about that song.
It's been cool to get people's feedback. It's obviously a different song than the rest of the album. It's a song I wrote by myself. It's very personal and it's very real and raw. And that's also one of the reasons that it's fun to now be able to have an outlet like being a solo artist where I can get super personal and super real and raw with my story and with some of my songs. One night was just missing my dad and just kind of letting songwriting be my therapeutic outlet. And that was a song that I really never thought anyone would hear, but it kind of stuck around and my team really loved it and thought, you know, this might be an important piece to your first album to tell this part of your story and to show this side of who you are. And I agreed. I said, yeah, I think you're right. Let's do this and let me just get as real as I can get, you know. And I think people connect with authenticity and realness and a lot of people have dealt with loss, you know, and a lot of people can relate to that emotion of just missing someone. So I think it really touched a lot of hearts, and it's cool to hear people's response and feedback from that song and how it brought them to tears or made them smile or made them remember the ones that they love and miss. And I really just hope that that song was as therapeutic for everyone else that listened to it as it was for me to write it, you know.
Is that a song that you ever would have written with Florida Georgia Line, or you really had to kind of be on your own for that to happen?
I think I had to be on my own for that to happen. It's such a personal story.
Yeah.
That it's hard to do it within the confines of being in a partnership because the other partner can't relate to that or doesn't understand. Not that we couldn't have done that regardless. You know, BK could have said, hey, let's write about your story and let's share this song. That could have probably happened, but I think it would have struck a little bit of a different chord being in the dynamic of a band as opposed to one individual person who's gone through the story and is it sharing from the heart. Timing was everything. And like I said, kind of grateful to have the ability to put songs like that out.
Did your dad really encourage your musical journey?
He did, yeah. He loved that I was into music, and he encouraged it in every aspect. I remember having friends, had a couple buddies that I made music with, and we would be up all night making beats and trying to figure out how to record music. And a few times he'd come up there and shut it down and be like, it's time to go to bed, boys. But the next day we'd always play him what we worked on, and he was always so proud, and he would want a copy of it. He would be showing his friends and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, he was definitely a big supporter, and he didn't get to stick around long enough to see the fruits of those long nights, but he was definitely a supporter early on and a big fan of me doing the music thing.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure he would have been very proud to see these albums that you've got now under your own name.
Appreciate it, man.
After the break, I'll talk more with Tyler Hubbard about how his solo career has been different from his time in Florida Georgia Line. We'll also talk about his new album, Strong, and I'll ask him a few rapid-fire questions that we call the jam session.
What's up, y'all? I'm Tyler Hubbard, and this is my Southern Living Jam Session.
All right, biscuits or cornbread?
Biscuits.
Sweet or unsweet?
Sweet.
Acoustic or electric?
Acoustic.
Florida or Georgia?
Georgia.
Easy one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Waylon or Willie?
Oh, Willie.
I'd love to sing a duet with blank.
Oh, a duet with Jack Harlow.
Okay. My favorite southern town is blank.
Southern town? Well, we've been talking about Monroe, and it's actually gotten a lot cooler since I moved, so I'm going to go with Monroe, hometown.
I like it. My favorite hometown restaurant is blank.
Oh, D-Best Wings.
And where's that?
Right in Monroe.
Okay.
It's a local little quick spot. You can get the best wings in town.
All right. You got to check that out. I got my first tattoo when I was blank years old.
When I was 20.
Okay. Last one. The most southern thing about me is blank.
Probably still my accent. And it's died down a lot since I was a kid and since I moved out of Georgia. But especially if I've had a couple drinks or it's pretty late at night, it starts to get pretty thick. So we'll go with accent.
It's still plenty strong, Tyler.
It happens, man. Especially if I start talking to my family. My wife's like, wow, I can tell who you're talking to right now. That's funny.
Okay, so I got to ask you about the tattoos. You know, anyone who's seen pictures of you knows that you have a fondness for tattoos and maybe not as much as Jelly Roll. I don't think you have any on your face yet.
Not yet.
I'm wondering if there is a story behind every one or if you're just kind of add to them over time.
I would say every tattoo has a story behind it for sure. Some have more meaning than others, you know?
Yeah.
One of my funniest tattoos is just at the time I loved to ride street bikes and I woke up one day and wanted a tattoo. So I Googled motorcycle tattoos and picked the first one that came up and stuck it right here on my arm, you know, around it. I wrote ride to live to ride. That was it. And I just went and got it that day. Didn't think a whole lot about it. Looking back now, it's like, that's some really good real estate right there. I could have done something way cooler. But anyways, yeah, everything's kind of got a story, even if it's just something silly like that. But ironically, my dad used to say, basically, son, if you ever get a tattoo or earring, don't worry about coming home kind of thing. And he was halfway serious. And so the irony behind it all was me and my brother after he passed, the first thing we did in his honor was to go get a tattoo of his initials and his favorite Bible verse and all that on her back is where I got mine. So after that, it was sort of downhill from there. I was hooked. But yeah, I love art in any form of fashion, and I think tattoos are really cool ways to express yourself and tell stories. And now I got tattoos that represent life and nature and my kids and my wife and music and everything I love. So now I'm looking for more ideas as we speak.
Are you running out of real estate yet?
No, I still got some leg room and some chest room. I still got some good space to keep going.
All right. Well, I want to talk about music for a minute, Tyler. So your musical identity for so long was wrapped up in Florida Georgia Line, so much so that I think a lot of people had never even heard of Tyler Hubbard.
Mm-hmm.
What's been different about climbing this mountain, getting your name out there, getting your music out there versus the one that you climbed with Brian Kelly?
Mm. Well, I'm about 12 years older, which doesn't sound like a lot, but at the pace of life that we're living, there's a lot of experience that happens in 12 years. So I'm really grateful to be able to have an opportunity to take everything I learned over the first go around, if you will, and kind of reapply it into the second go around with a more mature perspective and a great support team, great management. Now I have 3 kids and a wife. When we started, it was just me and BK and the band, and we didn't have anything to lose. We were definitely living month to month and grinding. We used to call the clubs ourselves and act like we were booking agents and that we had a band they had to hear, you know? And I mean, it was that kind of thing, you know, driving ourselves around the Southeast, building fans. And that was the goal. And so we really started from ground zero the first time. And although I have sort of started in a sense from ground zero, I still have the experience. I still have the catalog and the history. I can still play some of these massive hit songs at my shows. So it's not completely starting from scratch. There's still a little bit of a fan base, although it's not automatic like one may think. I'm rebuilding the different fan base, and I can definitely feel that live, and it's really cool to see the shift. I mean, there's definitely some FGL fans that are Tyler Hubbard fans, but like you said, there's people that have never heard of Tyler Hubbard that love FGL, and there's people that love Tyler Hubbard. There's kids that love my music and don't even really know Cruz.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting and cool. And it just adds to my gratitude. I would say I was grateful the first time around, but we were also in the middle of a whirlwind and just trying to hold on tight and just trying to keep the train on the tracks, if you will. All those years of it, just the trajectory was insane. And so this time I'm really taking my time. I'm enjoying the process. I'm really grateful not only to be doing it again because of the pandemic and the thing that took it all away for a while, but now just this new season, getting to reconnect with the fans in a more personal way. And just, I don't know, man, I just feel a little older, a little bit wiser, and a whole lot of gratitude in my heart. I get to come home to beautiful, healthy kids and a beautiful wife. And it's just a good reminder of why I'm doing it and what really matters. And I'm pulling inspiration from the life I'm getting to live and the blessings around me. And so it's almost sweeter the second time around, to be honest. The first time was great. I'll never forget it and never take it for granted, but it's really been sweet the second go around and getting to do it the way I'm doing it.
Well, you were talking about your wife and your kids, and now you've got this album out that's called Strong, and we kind of touched on it before, but the title track really does seem to be about your wife and about family and about that strength that comes from that. Is that fair?
Yeah, definitely. Fair for sure. And I'd say, as I think about it, it's like any marriage, you know, you get out of it what you put into it. You can fall in love, but being a life partner doesn't happen overnight. And there's definitely ups and downs, and the downs really make you stronger. So when you get back on top, it's really nice to have the song kind of represent the work that goes into having a strong relationship, whether it's with your kids, whether it's with your wife, whether it's with your friends, or even with yourself, having a strong, healthy relationship with yourself and knowing who you are and those types of things. So, yeah, I love the song and I love what it represents, and I'm grateful to have a relationship like I do.
Well, it also seems to be about a kind of value system that you believe in,
mm-hmm.
and that you grew up with, and that maybe you've inherited from your parents and from everybody you were surrounded by.
Yeah, like I said, I had a great example. And what a gift. I know everybody doesn't get to grow up with a great example of what a marriage looks like, of what a strong house looks like, and strong family, and a strong sense of self and confidence. My parents had all that. And so it was really a blessing to get to just soak that in as a kid. And it's part of who I am as well. So I get to reflect and pull inspiration from that and putting it into my music. That's what it's all about. I hope it inspires people and touches people for sure.
Tyler, there's another great song on this album, and it's called Turn. Another great kind of one word title. And this also sounds like one where you could be talking about your wife, Haley. But what was on your mind when you wrote that one?
I feel like that song just paints a million pictures. I would say it's a songwriter song. It's a lifestyle song. And it definitely touches on the power of falling in love and having a girl make your whole world go around. But yeah, it's a tribute to a small town life and what that means and what that looks like. And it's one of my favorites off the album, one I'm really proud of. My buddy Josh Miller came in one day with that idea and had it partially sussed out already. And I thought, yeah, I'm honored to finish this one with you. It feels like a great idea and turned into a great song. So I'm excited about that one. And we just started playing it live as well and feels really good. So I hope everybody loves it as much as I do.
Well, I think they're going to love it.
Thanks, man.
I have no doubt about that. I want to ask you about Haley. And one thing I've heard is that you're into your garden and you kind of grew up working in the garden. And it sounds like that might be something that you're still into. Is that something y'all enjoy?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we have a garden here at the house and plant it every season. And last year we actually planted a bunch of flowers as well and did a little bit less food, more flowers. And that was kind of cool just to mix it up. But it's also fun to have our kids go out there and learn. And that's nostalgic for me. Our garden now is a lot more beautiful than my childhood garden, you know, in the backyard, but it's like raised beds and got a nice fence around it with roses and stuff. So it's really beautiful and it's turned into something great over the years, but it's really cool just to see life grow in there every year and watch it come to life and watch our kids learn along the way. And we just got a chicken coop. So this year we're going to have chickens and just letting our kids learn where our food's coming from. It's important and it's a lot of fun. And it's one of those things we enjoy having.
I'm about to do a chicken coop myself. So we may have to trade tips later.
Well, I didn't know they even had them, but now they got these prefab coops that are so nice. You pay for them, but they end up probably being about the same price as if you did it yourself. So we're making it a lot easier these days.
Yeah, we've got it all set up. Now all we have to do is go and pick up some chicks. So
nice. Same. That's the fun part.
Well, you know, Tyler, you got a big tour coming up. You've got a lot of dates. I'm sure it's going to be a really busy summer. How do you balance being a dad and a husband and being a touring artist?
Yeah, it's a juggling act for sure. And it's something I'm constantly getting in check. You know, I live by the calendar. I look at it every month and try to make sure it's balanced, you know, make sure if I'm on the road a lot, that when I'm home, I'm able to be really present, be dad and be here. And I also wear a songwriting hat too, which that's another thing I'm juggling. So it's a lot. I actually enjoy the challenge of juggling it all, but it is a lot. And it basically requires me to be very intentional. I have a great team around me that helps me be intentional as well and just keep it in check and make sure that everything's balanced because it's all important. And I got to give time, uninterrupted and very intentional time to each aspect of my life that's important. So it's a weekly challenge.
Yeah. Well, Tyler, I just have one more question for you. What does it mean to you to be Southern?
Good question. I think for me, it's a lifestyle of it's hospitality. It's kindness. I think it's faith. I think it's organic and natural. And I think it's simple a lot of times. And it's just a way of life, you know? And I think it's different for everybody. Wherever you came from, whatever your little pocket of culture that you come from, it looks different for everyone. I'm grateful to have grown up in different parts of that culture. Growing up in Nashville, growing up in Georgia, growing up in a small town, growing up in a big city. But it's all considered being in the South, you know? I think it's good food. I think it's good people. And I think it's good music. So I don't know if that fully encompasses being Southern, but it is pretty close.
That's a pretty good start.
Thanks, Sid.
Well, listen, congrats on the album and good luck with the tour and everything else. And thanks so much for being on Biscuits and Jam.
Of course. Thanks for having me and hope to see you on the road sometime.
Absolutely.
Come on. See you, Sid.
Thanks for listening to my conversation with Tyler Hubbard. Southern Living is based in Birmingham, Alabama. Be sure to follow Biscuits and Jam on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. And we'd love your feedback. If you could rate this podcast and leave us a review, we'd really appreciate it. You can also find us online at southernliving.com/biscuitsandjam. Our theme song is by Sean Watkins of Nickel Creek. Hope you'll join me next time when I'll be talking with the Castellos, three young sisters from Georgia who are lighting up Nashville with a new EP called A Little Goes a Long Way. We'll see you then.